Are UK house prices about to explode, or is there going to be another crash? Should you buy now or sit tight? Welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And that is what we're going to be discussing on this week's show. So it's a very, I'd say it's quite an uncertain time right now. There's been a lot of predictions about market crashes, about house prices potentially going up a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, people are suddenly saying, well, maybe the house prices are going to explode. So what we're going to do, we're going to sort of take a deep dive into what is the market doing right now? What can we learn from history and what's happened before? And also, we'll finish with our predictions and what we think the market's going to do over the next 5 years. So why don't we take a look back to start with? If we look at the last 100 years, that's a good question, actually. Do you know how many major crashes there have been in the UK property market over the last 100 years, not including World War One or World War Two? See if you guys know the answer at home as well. Answer silently in your head. See if you can beat Anna.
Oh, well, there was definitely the one I remember is the 2008 one.
Yeah.
Because we got married that year.
And that caused it.
Yep, that was it.
They were like, Anna Leeds has got married. Massive crash.
So I definitely remember that one. I think there was one the early 90s.
Okay.
They're the only two.
So how many are you going to guess? Last 100 years?
Four.
Three. Three in the last 100 years, plus the World Wars. Let me tell you what they are, because I've done a little bit of research. In fact, let me share my screen with you so you can see it as well. Okay, here we go. So first one.
Yeah.
1973, 1974. I can't believe you didn't remember the oil crisis.
The oil crisis of 1973.
You didn't remember that?
No.
Well, neither of us were born back then, but apparently there was an oil crisis that caused a recession. House prices fell by 30% during the oil crisis. Then, as you mentioned, in the 1990s, we had the massively high interest rates that caused the massive recession, and the house prices declined by approximately 20%. And then, like you said, the one that I actually remember, we were alive in the 90s one, I just don't remember it, it was very little.
Yeah.
And in 2008, we had the global financial crash, which if you've watched, we've watched it, very interesting film about that, The Big Short.
Yep.
Which I think is entertaining and educational. It's a rare blend right there.
That sounded like something really loserish you'd say to your children. Oh, watch this film because
we're going to go to the museum today.
Because it's educational too.
But it actually was really, I find those sort of films really, really interesting.
It
explained it very well as well, what had happened and how, basically it was, they were over-leveraging, weren't they? They were giving people massive mortgages on crappy properties where they knew that they weren't going to pay back, and then it caused the big crash. However, here's the interesting thing, right? So we've had those big crashes. How long do you reckon? I've shared the screen with you now, so you can just know.
Yeah, so now I've had a quick skim through and I know what you're about to ask.
How long do you reckon it took for the market, after a massive crash like that, to the market to recover? Well, the answer is, as you will know, about 5 to 9 years, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at the oil crisis, pre-crash, so the average house price in 1973 was £10,000.
And then they dropped to around £7,000. And it took 5 years to recover. It's not that long, is it?
It's not very long. And also, the other thing is, if you bought a property in 1973 for 10 grand, and then a year later, it was worth seven, which doesn't sound like, 10 to seven, doesn't sound like a very big drop. But percentage terms, because bear in mind, 10 grand back then would be worth an awful lot more
than 10 grand is now. Yes, of course, yeah.
So that you'd feel like you'd messed up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would.
Goodness, I bought it. I've absolutely screwed up here. It's dropped 30% in a year. What on earth? But like you say.
But then, if you look here, though, what's interesting me is you think that and the panic stations when the crisis happened. But then by 1979, they were back. So say you've got your 10 grand again.
Yeah.
Well, suddenly, so that was an average house price. Well, suddenly by 1990, the average house price was £70,000.
Yeah, so like 10 years later.
It's gone up like astronomically.
It's gone from seven, in 15 years, it's gone from £7,000 to
£70,000.
10x in 15 years.
So it's like, yeah, you had a bit of a bad 5 years there, But then suddenly, in the next 10 years, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. So these, bear in mind, these are the biggest three crashes, right? So massive crash, 30% drop. 15 years later, it's worth 10 times more than it was in the drop. But it only took 5 years to recover. Let's have a look at the early 1990s, right? So we had the massively high interest rates. The interesting thing is, we kind of feel that interest rates are really high right now.
Yeah.
Because we've been used to low interest rates for so long. But like back in the, they were like nuts. So like we think that interest rates are like really high today. But you look back to like the 90s, like they were like unbelievable.
Oh yeah. Like, and I think it's our generation that think that, because I suddenly feel like as everyone of our age is going, oh, can you believe it? You've got all the above 60-year-olds are like, oh, back in the day, it was 15%. Well, you don't know, you're moaning now. You don't know what it was like back then.
You'd have to be born probably in the 60s, because otherwise, you know, if you were like, I was actually alive, but as a child.
Yeah, so.
You're not interested, are you? But if you were born in the 60s and by the 90s, you know, by the 90s, you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
You'd remember that. Like we remember the 2008 crash. Yeah. We think interest rates were really, because they've been low for so long. But yeah, 90s, they were like 15%. So as a result, no, you know, when the mortgages, when interest rates are that high, people can't afford to get mortgages, house price demand drops, etc. And they fell 20%. So let me give you the figures, right? So house price in 1989, the year I was born, average house price, 70 grand. 4 years later, it fell to 55 grand, 20% drop. And they recovered by 1998.
So that was the longest recovery, wasn't it? That's 9 years it took.
Yeah, it took about 9 years from where it really dropped to get back up.
Yeah.
So, but still,
not that long in the grand scheme of things, is it?
It feels a long time. It's not that long. So we've got 5 years, we've got 9 years. What about 2008? It's the one we remember. So 2008, they fell about 15 to 20%.
But then again, look at the average house price has gone up to 185,000. So again, in the time when it went back up, it's gone up again massively.
Mm.
So it's done another big jump from the late 1990s to 2008.
Yep.
And we're looking at £185,000 that was 2007. Then it dropped to around £150,000 by 2009. And then it took 7 years to recover.
To the 2007 peak. Yeah. So looking at 5, 7, 9. So somewhere between 5 and 10 years.
Yeah.
After a massive drop, bear in mind, there's three like this in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
Because normally what happens is house prices will go up a bit, then they'll go down a bit, then they'll go up a bit, then they'll go down a bit. And then occasionally, every now and again, you get one of these massive crashes. And everyone's been predicting a massive crash.
Like, oh, yeah.
Now, go on, what you say that as if you're disappointed. What are your thoughts?
No, it's just that I feel like, especially since COVID, I think the years after that, I mean, January comes, every podcaster says, oh, it's going to be a crash. There's going to be a crash. And I think they've predicted it now for how many years? And like you say, eventually you're going to be right, because eventually there's going to be another one. But if you've said it for the last 15 years, it hardly means you've got it right.
Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, and I feel like that the last few years, that's what they've been on about.
Yeah,
all the time.
Well, 2022, it's going to be a crash. So give the average house prices, right? So despite high demand and there had been a low supply, which drove the house prices up, we're looking at 273 grand. But interest rates went up sharply, as we all know. So people couldn't afford to buy houses. What would happen is people were saving up to buy a house because money was so cheap to borrow money.
Yeah.
Like COVID, it was like everyone was getting bounce back loans.
Oh, I mean,
loans.
They were just dishing it out, weren't they?
It's like free money, right?
Yeah.
So everyone wanted to buy. But because interest rates went up so much, people were in a situation where they're saving to buy a house. It's like, right, I've got the deposit. I can't afford the mortgage anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we had it with some of our buy-to-lets. You know, your mortgage literally doubled over. It wasn't quite overnight. I think one of the reasons why we didn't get hit quite as bad actually was because it was phased out. If they'd literally gone up overnight, if everyone had been on variable rate mortgages, everyone got hit like that, it would have like been a massive shock to the system. But what actually happened is it was like, oh my goodness, they're going up. How long have I got left on my fixed? 3 years. Okay, I've got 3 years at my current rate.
Yeah.
And then it will go up. So we did get hit, but not for a while.
Yeah, we knew about it before it happened, didn't we? Quite a long time.
Still haven't been hit.
Yeah.
We're still on the same mortgage we were beforehand, so we're still okay. But yeah, you know, we did eventually get hit, but because it got phased in, apparently in countries like Sweden, so in Sweden, they all are on variable rates no one's on fixed rates. So they got, it hit their market overnight because it's suddenly like, oh, your mortgage has doubled. No time to prepare. No time to plan. Just it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we all, but so there's a big prediction of a crash. Didn't actually happen. There was a little crash, fell about 5%. However, it actually was, it was almost like a silent crash in 2022 because the house prices stayed the same, went down a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
But what happened was inflation went through the roof. So money was being worth less and less. So in real terms, house prices actually decreased by about 15% because money was worth less.
Yeah.
And the house prices still went down over that period. But because they, on paper, they kind of look the same, it was like a silent crash.
Yeah.
Now, we realised this.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
We've been buying investment properties, but we've never bought our own home. But do you remember the conversation?
Yeah.
And we spoke to Samuel about it. And
we took
like,
total advantage of it.
It's like, look, you know, especially around here, the more expensive the house I found as well during this time, the less demand there was for those sort of houses.
Yeah.
So some, you know, normal investment properties might have stayed the same, but the houses around here, like if you've got a property up for 3 million, I mean, we're always looking on Rightmove and seeing suddenly those 3 million pound properties or properties that you know would have been for 3 million were like 2.4.
Yeah. And I, I nearly ate the mic then.
what were you thinking of?
Sorry, do excuse me. I was very close there. Forgot what I was talking about now. Yeah, so when we bought, I agree. I think, off, and again, I blame COVID for that. I think it was the back end of COVID and people just didn't want to invest in houses this big because people were scared. Because like you say, it's one thing your mortgage going up on smaller properties. When your mortgage goes up on properties like this, you're talking thousands of pounds more a month on your mortgage. And I just think people stopped buying houses like this. And we took total advantage of that and got our house at a great,
rate.
We still high five each other about it, don't we?
We do, because we probably got it 500 grand less than what it would have been. You know, and which is massive.
Yeah,
you know, it's a massive, massive saving. But I think the thing is when there is a crash, even if it's a silent crash, it's like buy up now.
Yeah.
Then 2024.
Yeah.
Again, everyone's like, oh, there's gonna be a crash. However, there was actually not a crash. They actually rose 4.8% on average, meaning the average house price now is around about 300 grand across the UK. A lot of that's due to like housing shortages as well. Obviously, the great thing about UK property is that you're on an island. You know, there's only so much we can build. There's always going to be a shortage of houses.
Yeah, of course.
We've got an ever-growing population. We've got, you know, not only is our population growing, but people are moving here as well. Although all the millionaires are apparently moving away.
Yeah, they've
that's
gone.
Story.
Yeah, because I find it really crazy and I've always wanted to go and visit. Do you know, like in Italy, where they have whole towns and cities built and then just no one lives there?
Like a ghost town.
Yeah. Because there was that TV show where Amanda Holden and Alan Carr went and bought one and they were selling them for €1.
Yeah, I've seen that.
To try and get people to buy there because it was just literally a deserted town. I've also seen like the Grand Tour. They've raced through the streets of empty towns.
Even like places like America, like Detroit and places like that.
But we're too small. We're never going to be like, oh, Beaconsfield's just deserted now. No one lives there because the house, there was a crash and everyone moved out. And, you know, you've got all their mansions just sitting there. Oh. Like, you're just not going to... I feel like here, we almost panic like that could be the case.
Yeah.
But that's never, ever going to be the case. We're not going to just be like, oh. Like I said on last week's episode, if your house isn't renting out, you're doing something wrong.
Mm.
Because we've got housing crisis. We've got more people than houses. So your house, there is no reason in this country why houses should be sat empty. So therefore, we're never going to get to the point where houses are worthless. And it's like, yeah, but my house just sits empty and it's in a town where no one lives. That ain't happening here.
No, no.
So I feel like when I think about it crashing, and when they say a housing crash, I kind of think everyone just panics for no reason. Like everyone sells up. Oh, that's it. Get rid of my property portfolio. There's been one crash in the market. Like, I kind of think...
But it's actually, it's the opposite. It's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, if we look, we're talking about history, right? I did a little a bit of research over the last 100 years. So I was like, right, let's go back to 1930, which is as far back as I could actually go. 1930, and look at what the average house price was in 1930. Then look at 1940, 1950, 1960, all the way up to 2020, right? And I looked at, number one, what were the actual average house prices? And number two, what would have happened if in 1930, they just doubled every 10 years?
Yeah.
So 1930, they were 400 quid. And I plotted it on a graph. So 400 quid in 1930, 800 quid in 1940, 1,000, and so on and so forth, right? And actually, they have beaten the doubling. So if they just doubled every 10 years, they'd be worth less now than they actually are. So they've more than doubled. So what actually happens is, they don't. It's not like a nice... It looks great when it just goes up every 10 years. It looks on a curve. It looks fantastic. It looks beautiful. And we'd all love that, I'm sure. If we bought a property and every 10 years, it just doubled. It makes you feel great and warm and fluffy inside. You've never lost money, right? But in reality, what happens is it goes up massively, like we saw.
Yep.
You just said it went up like 10 times in 10 years, in 15 years, right? 10x. So it goes huge. Then it will drop. Then it will go up. Then it will stay the same for a bit. Then it will go up slowly. Then it will shoot up. Then it will shoot down a bit. But overall, it's always on this curve of going up. But you'll make a lot more money like this. Because if you deliberately buy in bad times, like we bought this, like you just mentioned, 2022, we bought this in 2023, right?
Yeah.
So in 2022, you see, oh, hold on a second. They're not going up. Inflation's gone like crazy. The big houses aren't selling. Now's the time to buy.
Yeah.
We bought, right? It's a great time to buy. If you're actively looking for times when the market is struggling, like now,
yeah,
it hasn't done much in the last, I don't know, how long? It's got a little bit, what, 5 years? Has it changed much really over the last five years? Not really. So now's a brilliant time to buy, because we know.
Don't sell up. Stop buying.
Start buying. Yeah. And look, we do this with stocks, right? So we 99% of our investments is all in property, but we dabble, don't we?
Yeah.
In the stock market. And we make use of the ISA, which I think is a great tool, by the way. 20 grand you can put in every year. Don't pay any tax on it. So it's worth it.
I think it's the stocks investing that taught me how to invest better in property.
Go on.
Because of what you're saying about the dip. Because I think I was a bit taken in by, oh no, the house prices. And we never sold any properties, but you live in this state of, oh no, like, oh, and you feel like you've lost money on property and all. But actually, what I learned from the stocks, because they're like that all the time. Again, if you look at the graph, they were here 5 years ago and they're here now, but they're really volatile.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like this. Like, and I think what it taught me was, when it's on a down, they're like, yeah, buy in. That's when you want to buy in.
Yeah.
Not when it's on a high, goes down, buy in, then it goes back up.
It's not on sale.
Yeah.
So house prices are on sale, by the way, right now. And we're like, sell it. What?
What are you thinking? Why would you sell it?
Yeah.
Why would you sell your house when the house prices are down? No. Buy a house. Like, because they're giving their houses away for cheap. Don't give your house away for cheap.
Yeah.
Buy a house that someone else is giving away for cheap.
Because we know over time, it's going to go up.
Yeah.
And if you're ever feeling depressed, if you bought in 2020 and the house price hasn't gone up, like we did this, right? We bought a property up north in 2007, 2008. I can't remember the exact year.
Yeah, it was near the recession, wasn't it?
And literally, like, I know it said it took, what, 9 years on average, but that's the average.
Yeah.
Certain areas really, really struggled to go up. And I think it was about 2018 or something before. So it took 10 years and it's still worth the same.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my goodness. I mean, sometimes you look at it and you go, what the hell was I thinking buying that property? However, it still paid its rent every month.
Yeah.
And now it's gone up about 100 grand.
Yeah.
It shot up after that. It took ages at the same. And then,
but then that's shown on these statistics, isn't it? That it takes 5 to 10 years to get back what it lost. But then in the next 10 years, they seem to like 10x.
Yeah.
They don't just go, oh, and then it took another 10 years to get it. Then they just fly for a bit.
And then they'll stall.
Yeah.
And then they'll fly. And if you're in a stall period, buy.
That is the time. Because that would suggest they're about to go rocketing up.
Yeah, 100%.
But also, I think, sorry to put in there.
No, that's fine.
I think when there's a crash as well, as investors, you shouldn't be thinking, oh no, like, this is disaster. Brilliant. No, it's not. Think of other things to do. come on, when there's a crash, you have got those people, older landlords and things that just think, I can't deal with this, I just want rid. Lease options, find other alternatives. It's exciting times, you can think of other things to do. I mean, the amount of people that have got hold of themselves lease options and got their hands on cheap properties during crashes,
yeah.
Like Samuel talks about one with in his book, doesn't he? That was a great one.
We messed up with that because there's a guy. So I'll tell you the story for the. Obviously, I know you know the story, but for the people
at home,
I thought
you were giving me a little story time then.
Story time. Sit down. Settle down. So I'll tell you the story. So a guy called Jeremy, and he approached us. It's in Samuel's book, and he said, "I've got this property. I want to sell it." And I was like, "Well, let's look at it. Let's run through the figures." Now he bought it for $100,000 in 2007. It's now 2009.
Yeah, it's the same. This is the recession, isn't it?
Same recession.
Yeah.
And it's worth like 80.
Yeah.
Right? But back then, you used to get better mortgages than you got now. So I think he got it on like a 90% mortgage or something.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So he now is in a situation where he's put 10 grand in. He's got a 90 grand mortgage, but he's got a property worth 80 grand.
Yeah.
So if he sells it for 80 grand, he can't even afford to pay off the mortgage. He literally would have to give the mortgage company the whole 80 and then pay another 10 grand out of his own pocket just to get himself out of the deal.
Yeah.
So he's stuck, right? He's in negative equity. So he turned around to us and said, do you want to buy my property? Oh, do it. I bought it for $100. I'll do a great deal. I'll take you for 90. And we looked at it and we were like, but it's only worth 80.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks.
We're good.
We're okay. And he's like, do you know anyone else? I said, well, he's all right, your brother. I was like, yeah, speak to him, but he won't want to buy it. Like, it's literally, you're 10 grand over the odds. Yeah. So Samuel looked at it and Samuel said, well, I'll tell you what, I will buy it for 90, but what I'll do is I'll take over the property right now. I'll be the landlord. I'll almost like a corporate lease off you and I'll buy it off you for 90 in 5 years' time once the market's recovered. And Jeremy was like, well, fair enough. I get my 90 grand back. Fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it. I'm not going to get any money anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm a negative equity. So there's no
headache
skin off my
gone.
Nose. Headache gone. So he said yes. 5 years later, the property's now worth 110.
Jeremy's kicking himself.
Samuel's now buying a 110 property for 90 grand. He's made the money off it over the last however many months. Right. Years.
Yeah.
The rental income coming off it. Samuel's laughing. Lease option agreement. You're right, though. This sort of deal and opportunity wouldn't come around.
No.
If there wasn't negative equity. It just wouldn't happen. So finding, or if there weren't peaks and troughs. So
yep.
You want to be taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, not just sitting there feeling like, oh, like, oh. Like, I think I just see everything. Look at everything positively. When the house prices are going up, brilliant. You're making money. The house prices are going up. When they're down, buy in.
Yeah, buy more.
And I think both can be exciting because, like I said earlier, it's never going to get to the point where it's like, oh, all the house prices, now my houses aren't worth anything. That's just not going to happen. That's just not realistic. So my honest opinion, when I see all these, oh, the house prices, they're going to be a crap. Who cares?
It's great.
Who cares?
Do you know what it is, though? It's people hate losses.
Yeah.
And they're like, they feel like when it goes up, and you say, oh, yeah, I've made 100 grand. You kind of think, yeah, great, but I haven't actually made the 100 grand because it's just stuck in the property or whatever. But, oh, yeah, great, happy days. When you've lost 100 grand, you're like, oh, my goodness, it's the end of the world. I've lost 100 grand. And yeah, the gains don't feel as good as the losses feel bad.
Yes, no, I do agree with that. And I think...
Because we don't like losses.
Yeah.
You know, we're much more scared of losing than we are happy about winning.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Because didn't you read a book about that? And it was showing all the statistics of would you bet on this? And if it's actually...
Yeah, it's called Thinking Fast and Slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like if I said to you, I tell you what, I'll toss a coin. If it's heads, I'll give you a grand. If it's tails, you give me a grand. People are like, no. Because they'd rather keep the grand that they've got rather than risk it to win another grand. But you've got, I think it was like, it's got to be like 2.2 times more for you to take the risk. So if I said, well, I'll tell you what then, I'll toss a coin. If it's heads, I'll give you a grand and a half. If it's tails, you'll give me a grand. Most people would still say no, because even though they'd like to win the grand and a half, that wouldn't be as sweet as losing the grand.
Yeah. And then you said, if they went for it and then they lost, so they had to pay you a grand. And then you said, okay, well, let's go again. And if you win, it's even. But if you lose, you will have to pay me 2 grand. Then everyone went for it.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to just get out of there. Everyone wanted to take the risk then.
Yeah.
To get out of their grand loss just to make it nothing. They took that extra.
If it's lose-lose, you're more happy to take the risk than you are if it's... Because it's like, well, I've already lost.
Yeah. So
might as well go all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which is why people that have gambling debts and stuff or big debts go and take stupid risks to try and pay it back because they're already lost.
So they think, well... What's a bit more to, but we could get out of it.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting actually in that book, talking about sort of investing, was looking at the stock market. And they were saying that people that check the stocks on a daily basis versus people that say check it on a monthly basis, who would make the better investor? People that are really on it, checking it every day, or people that check it once a month?
I reckon you'd think, and I might not be right here, it'd be people checking it every day.
You think they'd be better?
Yeah. But because it's so volatile and it moves all the time, I think you could maybe, I don't know, but I think you could maybe overthink it and be like, oh no, it's down a bit. Oh no, shall I pull my money out and put it in over there? And actually, like you look at it more than me and I feel like you're always more panicked about it than me.
Panicked?
Not panicked, but you're always going, oh, we're down. Oh, it's back up. Oh, we're down. And then, oh, I'm not as bothered. And then look after a month and I'm like, oh yeah, I've made some.
Yeah,
and I don't. It'd be like, obviously, that's up and down all the time. So it'd be like having a housing crisis for part of every single year, and it was like constantly. Then people are like, is it this month? Is it that month? Is it? And then everyone would be always in a state of, is it down? Is it up? Is it down? Is it up? And because you can look at stocks and shares like that, it literally you can look at it hour for hour, can't you? You can literally see the money going up and down.
Yeah, like in real time.
In real time, I think you could. Mess and pick too much rather than actually if you go back after a month the chances are it's just gone up.
You're right, the less you look at it the better, the less people looked at it the more successful they were because they can't help but mess.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that I like about property is you don't mess in the same way.
No, because you're not going to just go right,
oh it's a little bit tiny bit of that house now and all that, but a bit more of this house. It's like you're kind of in it for the long term
and things take long, even selling a house, even if you go that's it, we're selling our house. Well, you don't know how long that's going to take. Or that's it. We want to buy that house. You're like, okay. Well, that'll be yours in 4 months then.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same kind of fast-paced.
Mm.
And I think, with stocks and shares, you can do a bit too much. Even though I know people that do just sit there, put money in and out, I think actually sometimes you can just overmess.
I agree. So I think the key is you want to stay informed. You want to know what's going on. You want to be aware of the markets. You want to be, when it's flat or struggling, you want to buy more.
Yeah.
Right, 100%. But you don't want to be too overreactive. You don't want to be like, all these landlords that are selling up right now. When I see landlords, it's like selling up. I'm thinking, this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a little bit like Warren Buffett says, when everyone's scared, be greedy. And everyone's greedy, be scared.
Yeah.
When everyone's buying... Then it's like, okay, well, maybe it's not the best time to buy right now. But when everyone's not buying and when it's crashing, now you want to buy more properties.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. Yeah. When you look back at the patterns and you see it going up and down. So with all that being said, what do we think then? What are our thoughts over, say, the next 5 years? We've seen it sort of stay roughly the same over the last 5 years, a little bit of a drop.
I personally think it's about to go up, but I could predict that every year and I'm going to be right eventually.
You'd be right a lot more than you'd be wrong. You'd be right a lot more than people that predict a crash every year.
Yeah, so, but I would, from looking at the stats, I think it suggests it's about to go up.
Yeah, so obviously... We might see a massive spike. My prediction is a steady growth over the next 5 years, say 3-4% a year.
Yeah.
If you look, obviously I do read a lot of what the big banks and the housing companies say. That's kind of seems to be the general consensus.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's going to absolutely skyrocket and we're going to be like, wow, in the next 5 years, look at that. House prices 10x'd. I don't think it's going to...
I think over the next 10...
Over the next 10, there'll be
a massive spike because it's been so flat for so long.
So it's due one, isn't it?
It is due
and
one.
And I honestly don't think there's going to be suddenly a massive crash. Because like you say, I think there's been a little one that we kind of, everyone's dabbled with talking about, but really hasn't. I don't think it's due like another big, I don't think it's suddenly going to be like, whoa, that was the big crash. And even if it is, buy in, brilliant.
And even if it is, 5, 6, 7 years later, it'll be back to what it was anyway.
Yeah, so...
The thing is, you only lose money in property. You only lose money when you sell.
Yeah.
That's the only time. If you don't sell, if you hold it, I know for damn sure, any property that I buy, if I bought a property for 300 grand and a year later it was worth 200, biggest drop we've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, 33% drop. I'd be confident, as long as I hold on to it.
Yep.
For long enough. And when I say long enough, 10 years.
Yeah.
It'll be worth back what it was. And if I hold on to it for another 10 years, it'll probably be worth 400-500 grand.
Yeah. And that's just what it's actually going to happen, isn't it? I mean, you've got to look through history. We've got the history to show us. But that is what's going to happen. It's not going to suddenly be in 25 years' time. Oh, no. My house was only worth 10 grand now and I bought that for 2 million.
No, what the hell? Yeah.
Like, that's just not going to happen. So I think do not sell.
Yeah.
Unless you're literally, like you say, if you bought such a bad investment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying never ever sell. I mean, if you
But don't sell just because you panic because there's a bit of a house price.
No, I would never sell. The only reason I would ever sell is if I bought a property. You know, it was a problem property.
Like, yeah.
Kept having bad tenants, not really making any money from it. I might think, let's just sell that and reinvest it in another property. Yeah. But yeah, pretty much never sell. When you don't sell, you don't pay tax on it either.
Yeah.
You get to refinance it. You pull the money out, refinance it, reinvest the money, zero tax. And remember that inflation is actually, as an investor, inflation is your friend. So what inflation actually does is, number one, it forces up the house prices. So all the house prices are getting forced up. Number two, it forces up the rents.
Yeah.
And number three, if you're borrowing money and you're getting a mortgage, it shrinks your mortgage.
Yeah.
Right. Even on an interest-only mortgage, the mortgage is shrinking. So inflation will serve you well if you're an investor.
Yeah.
Inflation doesn't serve you well if you've got all your cash in the bank or if you don't have any cash. If you don't have any assets, don't have any cash, and you're working for your job, inflation is making you poorer. That's why they say the poor are getting poorer, the rich are getting richer because of inflation.
Yeah.
And then the other thing to bear in mind as well, and we'll talk about this on another video, but is you can create your own economy. You can force the house price up using strategies like buy, refurbish, refinance. So you don't have to.
Course,
we're talking at the moment about relying on the market. But if you're using clever strategies, you can force this to happen. You can force your rents up. You can force the market value of your house up. There's lots of things that you can do outside of it. And if you want to learn how to do those strategies, I'm actually going to be running a webinar. So I'll put a link below, but I'm going to be running a webinar teaching you how you can do that and how you can force the value of property up, how you can pay very, very little tax on the money that you make as well. So I'll put a link below. It's completely free. Jump on the webinar. It'll be about an hour and a half. So I'll go through all that with you on the webinar. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.